We're joined today here on the Pulse of New Hampshire with U.S. Senator Jeanne Shaheen, who joins us from Washington, D.C. Senator Shaheen, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Mike. I hope everybody who's listening is planning for Happy Hanukkah and Merry Christmas and enjoying the holidays with their families. And hopefully the weather won't be too bad in preventing people from getting home.
Yeah, it is going to be a tough little commute for some people flying. And I know you're trying to get a flight out of Washington, D.C. We wish you safe travels as well, Senator. So good luck out there. Let's first talk. You were on the floor last night with the joint meeting of Congress for more funding for Ukraine. The Ukraine's president, Zelensky, speaking to our delegation. Very interesting speech. First time since Winston Churchill came in to speak to this Congress body. Let's talk about that. What were your thoughts yesterday? Because a lot of people are saying that, yeah, okay, we need to help fund Ukraine in their efforts against, you know, Putin and Russia there. We can't give a blank check. What are your thoughts on all that?
Well, obviously we need to do oversight. But I thought President Zelensky gave an impassioned, compelling speech that laid out why it's in America's national security interests to continue to support Ukraine. What we saw with Vladimir Putin in 2008, he went into the state of Georgia, took part of Georgia. We didn't do anything to stop him then. He went into Crimea, took Crimea in 2014. He went into Syria, and we drew a red line there and allowed him to cross it. So we know that he's going to continue his expansionist ambitions, and the Ukrainians are fighting not just for Ukraine, but for all of us who believe in democracy, who believe in a world-based rules order that says dictators aren't allowed to come in and just claim a country because they might like to.
I mean, President Zelensky pretty much spoke out and said he sees victory for Ukraine in 2023, hopefully sooner than later, but obviously, those people in Ukraine don't have much of a country to come back to, people who have left and trying to come back to their families and homes. What do you see this outcome being, and how do you sense that Ukraine wins this?
Well, I think President Zelensky has done a masterful job of leading his country during war. And Ukraine, as he pointed out last night, is still standing up and making gains against Russia when everyone thought that Kyiv would fall in 3 days once the Russians invaded. And so I think we need to continue to support Ukraine. And at some point, what Vladimir Putin is counting on is on America and the West, Europe, getting tired of this war, being concerned about the impacts on the people in the United States and all over the world because of what one person, Vladimir Putin, has done. And I appreciate that there are real impacts on families because of this war. But the worst thing we can do is stop supporting Ukraine, let Vladimir Putin win, and let him continue. I mean, what's next? Going after NATO countries? If we talk to our NATO allies, Poland, the Baltic states, they are very concerned that if Russia wins in Ukraine, they're going to be next. And that's a threat to America.
Yeah, and Zelensky alluded to that last night. Let's talk about another big issue, of course. You folks in the Senate are planning to vote today on this passage of this $1.7 trillion spending bill, or else the government shuts down. Where does this stand right now, and is this a good bill in your estimation?
It is. Obviously, whenever you've got legislation that's that big, there are some things I support and some things I don't support in it. But there's a lot of help for New Hampshire in this bill. There's record funding for violence against women programs, something that we've seen expand as the result of the epidemic, the pandemic. We've got $600 million to help communities and first responders who are dealing with the substance use disorder crisis. We've got funding to help with mental health. Again, something that has become a real epidemic, mental health issues as the result of the pandemic. There's funding to bolster domestic manufacturing, the Manufacturing Extension Program, which in New Hampshire has been so important in helping businesses with manufacturing. We're going to help them and their investments to support the new legislation that we passed to help us be competitive with semiconductors, which are important in everything from washing machines to cars to computers. So there's a lot in this bill. There are a lot of what we call congressionally directed spending requests for New Hampshire. We used to call those earmarks, but those are projects that have been put forward to our office for communities who are trying to do things that they can't get help for either through the state, their community, or through federal programs. And we're able to support projects that really make a difference in communities. So there is a lot in this bill for New Hampshire, and I hope we can get it done today.
Yeah, one of your colleagues, Senator Chris Coons of Delaware, he said that the omnibus bill is kind of hanging on by a thread. Do you sense it's going to pass, and how close will it be, do you think?
Well, the vote to move to the omnibus was 70 in favor. So that's a pretty strong bipartisan vote, and I suspect that when we get to the final bill, we've got a number of amendments that we have to vote on today, but when we get through those and get to the final bill, I suspect it will be that strong a vote.
We're speaking to U.S. Senator Gene Shaheen here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. One thing more I want to ask you, Senator, before we wind down our conversation this morning, thank you for spending some time with us. We do appreciate it. You know, the head of New Hampshire's Democratic Party has written to the National Democratic Committee to urge it not to change the party's presidential primary schedule. Of course, the National Party wants to give the nation's first Democratic primary contest to South Carolina. But of course, New Hampshire party leaders, including you, say the plan would kind of change the century's 100-old tradition of providing that level playing field for presidential hopefuls. If it goes and the DNC says South Carolina goes first, well, of course, we have a state law that says that any presidential primary will go 7 days before any other primary. So we probably would still have a primary beforehand, but I wonder how the national candidates will react to that. And I wonder how badly or how inconveniently New Hampshire delegates will be punished in some way, some sort of penalty. What do you sense and hear about that right now? What's an update?
Well, the party's threatening a number of things, but I think, as you point out, New Hampshire has a law that says we go 1 week ahead of any similar contest, and we're going to follow New Hampshire's law. And I think the primary has worked really well in the presidential selection process for over 100 years to vet candidates, to give candidates who may not be the best financed or have the biggest name, the most name recognition, or be the establishment candidate, an opportunity to be heard. They have to engage with voters. Independents can participate in either the Republican or Democratic presidential primary, and often they go and listen to candidates on both sides and make a determination. So it's something that's worked very well. I certainly support the idea of increased diversity, but I think the Democratic Party could have done both. They could have moved up a more diverse state to an earlier contest and left New Hampshire where it was. And I think our primary is going to go forward and continue to provide that opportunity for voters to engage with candidates, which is what we need for anybody running for president.
But do you sense that the candidates who do run for president, they will sort of understand that? I mean, if the DNC and they vote to put South Carolina first, will that put in the minds of the candidates to spend more time in South Carolina than they normally would in New Hampshire? What do you think? Even though New Hampshire would have on the election schedule a primary before South Carolina, but it would not be recognized nationally as the first.
Well, this has been threatened and tried before, and what we have learned over the years is that candidates come to New Hampshire because they do get that special opportunity to engage in ways that they can't in a bigger state like South Carolina. That reporters come because they love to see how candidates interact with voters, and voters participate in at a higher percentage than they do in almost any other state in the presidential selection contest. So I think the primary is going to go forward. We've already seen on the Republican side, where we know there are a lot of candidates beginning to come through the state, they have already locked in New Hampshire. So I think the primary will go forward, and we'll see what the Democratic Party does. In the past, they have threatened to sanction certain states who went out of order, and in the end, they didn't do that.
All right. Senator Gene Shaheen, thank you for the final word today. Thank you for joining us throughout the year this year, 2022. We hope it's a great year for you as well and your family in 2023. And thanks for being a part of our program. Merry Christmas to you and your family, and my regards to everybody in your family. And thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Oh, thanks, Mike. And Merry Christmas to everybody. I hope everyone listening has a safe and happy holiday.